Hebrews 10:24-25 says, let us consider one another. Right there, how about that for a message title? Let us consider one another. It ain't all about me, right? Let us consider one another. In order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:24-25. Hallelujah. Well, I always say that because I think it was even Sunday. Again, I was just reminding everybody of the importance of us being together, pulling together, working together. God has called us as a body. There are no islands in the kingdom, right? There are no lone rangers. We're all part of something much bigger than ourselves. I certainly realize that. And you know, you're part of me, I'm part of you. We're family. We all have a little different responsibility and assignment, but we need each other, and everybody's important. And so God bless you for coming tonight, being with us. I know there's reasons why not everybody can be here. I'm not here to be your judge. God is the judge, right? But I am here to exhort the body to say, let's pay attention to what we're doing, because there is nothing more important than, right, the will of God. And we discover and are part of the will of God. As a matter of fact, the assembling together of the saints is the will of God. So I'm not talking to anybody here tonight, I hope. But there are people who will say, well, it's not that important for me to go to church. What's the big deal, you know? Or I can have church by myself. I don't need to go to church. Well, you're right. You're supposed to be the church. And if you're the church, you need to be together with the rest of the members of the church, right? And we meet in a building, which we call a church, but it's really a meeting house, a synagogue. So that is a lie from Satan to tell people. And many people believe it and they repeat it, that it's not important to go to church. God says, we just read it, God says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Amen? So don't take this as a rebuke, amen? Because there's things that happen in our lives where we can't avoid, you know, not coming together. So don't get me wrong. I'm not here to pick on anybody. Things happen, right, in life. And sometimes I'm away because I just need to get away. But I'll tell you what, I'll go to church somewhere. Even when I'm on vacation, I'll go find some place to meet. I'll look for the one that has the fire coming off the roof, you know. And it's not being consumed, right? And I'll say, just look, and sometimes all you got to go by is a title. So hopefully they have a name and they are alive as well. Not just a name that they are alive, right? And yet they are dead. Sometimes you can be surprised by the name of a church and you go in and say, ah, Living Waters, huh? A little dusty in here, you know. Anyways, thank you for coming. You bless me. And we're a blessing to each other. And, you know, every time we don't listen to the other voice and we do what God says, even, guess what, when we don't feel like it. Amen? Obedience isn't based upon how I feel. God says, do it, you do it. Amen? And don't do it grudgingly, do it cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. And what are we giving? We're giving ourselves. We're giving ourselves back to God. And basically what we're saying is, Jesus, what can I do to love you back? You gave all for me. The rest of my time is for you now. Amen? God gives us free time. Amen? We have free time in Father's house. Amen? We run around the yard and play ball or whatever we're doing during our day. But the Father calls us to fellowship. The Father calls us together. The Father gives us an instruction. The Father interrupts our plans and says, but I want you to do this. Those that are led by the Spirit will choose the way of the Spirit. Because they know that every time they say yes to the Spirit, it means life to them. Amen? And life to others. It's not all about just me being filled. However, there's satisfaction in doing the will of God. If you're not satisfied spiritually, it means that you're outside of the will of God. It's that clear. If you're not in contentment with God and where you're at, no matter what financial situation you're in, no matter where you're living, if you're not in contentment in that situation, it means that you're not really in the will of God. Because in the will of God, there is satisfaction. And it's not based upon the external situation that you're in. It is a peace that passes understanding, reason, logic. I can't explain it, but I am thankful to God that I have such peace. Honestly, I have such peace in my life now that things happen all day long. I mean, stuff happens, you know, but yet there's still peace. I have moments, you know, but it's like I can quickly just draw it right back to God and call on Him and just kind of just sit in His presence, you know. And I don't even have to be sitting when I do that. You can be walking, you can be working, you can be going through your day. We have the ability as the temple of God and carriers of His glory to worship Him wherever we're at. Amen? Personally. And so we should be personally edified. And then when we come together, we're corporately edified. See, sometimes people wait to come to church to get edified. And they don't learn how to edify themselves in the Lord. That means build up. You're supposed to be building up your spirit man. Amen? So when we build up our spirit man and then we come together corporately, it's wonderful. It's amazing. Right? Because we're a church in revival. Not just because we showed up at a meeting. Revival is not an event. It's a state of being in life with God. Revive, return to life in God. Revival. So when we're revived personally and we come together corporately, it's wonderful. Turn your Bibles, if you will, tonight to John chapter 11. John chapter 11 and verse 41. Chapter 11, verse 41. This is, of course, the episode when Lazarus was raised from the dead. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Have you ever prayed that way? Have you ever preached while you prayed? Come out on Friday night and you'll get some good preaching during the prayer. But Jesus, he had no doubt that the Father was listening to him. And he even presented his petition as, "Father, I thank you that you hear me and that you, once in a while, occasionally, but that you always... always hear me." And of course, he wasn't saying that for his own benefit, but he was saying that for those who were standing around again, and that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus didn't pray without expecting to be heard. So when we pray, we've got to come with expectation. And a lot of times when we pray, we start getting all kinds of thoughts. All kinds of stuff starts dumping in on you. You know, the devil's usually prowling around, isn't he? And he knows when somebody's getting ready to pray. And he's going to do everything he can to divert you and to keep you from praying. Why? Because the Father's listening. And so there will be distractions. There will be phone calls. The kid will start screaming. Something will go on, right? To cause a distraction or to get you to stop praying or petitioning the Father. Now, prayer is meant to be answered, would you agree? Yes. Otherwise, God would not ask us to pray. And so Jesus said this so that the people would understand that he's in right relationship with the Father and the Father does hear him. And obviously, he didn't just say that. He demonstrated that fact by raising Lazarus from the dead. So the first thing he did is he prayed and then he spoke to the dead man and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." You understand? Sometimes God will expect us to speak into our situation, but not until we first petitioned him. And even when we pray for the sick, folks, you know, sometimes it's in order for us to just say, "Father, would you reach out?" Or, "Jesus, would you reach out your hand and touch this person right now?" We just had two miracles Sunday night, actually. And just asking Jesus to come and lay his hand on the individual. And then in faith to speak to whatever the problem is. So we've asked the Father for his intervention. And then our part is to speak to it. Jesus said, speak to the mountain, right? Be thou removed and cast into the sea. So you pray, you ask, and then you speak or you command. So there's something to be said about commanding sickness and disease and demons. Would you agree? If you know that you have authority, then you will exercise it. If a person doesn't know who they are, then they won't exercise any authority. A policeman can have a badge but not know who he is. He may not have any faith that that badge means anything, for example. He might be a Barney Fife. So, I mean, but that badge means something. It means that I represent something bigger than myself. You know, I'm under authority. I've been deputized to go and to, you know, to enforce the law. And basically what we're called to do is enforce what Jesus has already done. It's already done. Our job is to enforce what he's done already. And we need to do that in the authority he gives us. And I've said this before, but there is a connection between intimacy with God, a prayer life, and having authority. Some people are trying to take authority over situations, but they don't have any intimacy with God. They don't have any prayer life. And so in some cases, like the seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, they got their butts kicked by demons because they tried to invoke the name that Paul preached, which was Jesus, to make these spirits come out of this man. Amen. And it says that they fled naked and beat up by the spirits. Why? Because they didn't know Jesus. They didn't have a relationship with Jesus. But if you have a relationship with Jesus, then you will have authority in these matters. Is it important for us to have a relationship with Jesus? And so that relationship is basically prayer. Prayer is you and I petitioning, talking to God. There's several types of prayer, but I just want to touch on a few things tonight. But we need to, first of all, pray in faith, believing that, Father, you hear me, and I know that you always hear me. Do we believe that God always hears us? You see, sometimes when we pray, the enemy comes along and he says, oh, God doesn't hear you because remember what you did 20 years ago or what you did even yesterday? You confessed it, you know, but, you know, he wants to bring it up because he wants to get us into condemnation. He wants us to get us into a thing called doubt. And so he wants us to qualify, you know, our standing with God based upon our performance, not upon faith in his name. And if we are just looking at how good we are and how good we're doing, that's an arrogant prayer anyways. Because it's not based on my goodness, but his goodness. But if I love Jesus, I'll behave myself. And when I behave myself, the Father also will give privileges. Amen. If your son or your daughter is behaving themselves, you say, hey, I want to bless you. You know, you can go out and get that ice cream now or whatever it was. You know, we bless people. Who wants it? But God's the same way. He gives us a stewardship. He gives us responsibility. He gives us all a gift, a ministry, something to use. If we're faithful with that, he will increase that in our life. If we're not faithful with it, at the end of the day, when life is over and we stand before he, or maybe before then, he may take that away and say, well, you're not using it. I'm going to give it to somebody else that's bearing fruit. Do you know that God expects us to use the gifts that he gave us? Have you ever been functioning in a gift that was quite regular in, and then all of a sudden by a bunch of events or situations come up, you're no longer functioning in that, and then you go to do it again, and it seems like it's tough to ever get back into that place? Yeah. We have to return and do the first works. We need to get back to that place where God was using us a certain way. And he does change, of course. It's not always going to be the same way. But we need to go back to our first love and to rediscover who we are. And we can only find that answer in him. God is the one who reveals to us who we are. we're always looking for identity, but we're looking in the wrong places. Who am I? Well, maybe I'm like this person or this star or that celebrity or I hang out with these guys or these people in this clique or in that club or whatever. You know, people are looking for an identity. Why, you know, am I here and who do I fit with? Who are my people, we say, you know? Well, my people are the people of God now. Amen? I'd gone through all that before. I've been there, done that, ain't going back to it. You know, trying to fit in. And if you're a child of God, you're not going to fit in. You're never going to fit in. You're never going to be contented. You're not going to find what you're looking for in that because it's empty. So when Jesus prayed, he prayed with faith because he knew his Father always heard him. When we pray, we need to follow his example and always pray with the same confidence that my God is hearing me. And don't listen to the other voice that says, don't pray because it's not going to do any good. How many times have we heard that? How many times have we asked God for something and we may have prayed for a while on it and nothing seems to be happening. And all of a sudden, then we start to get the voice of doubt or unbelief that says, there's no sense in praying anymore. You prayed long enough. God hasn't heard you. God's not answering your prayer. And so if we're not careful, we'll give into that. And then the enemy said, he'll laugh. Because that's exactly what he wants. Now, let's look at another one here in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Jesus told his disciples they should always pray and not give up. They should always pray and not give up. And then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Because, you know, sometimes, folks, I've actually had the same thoughts myself, but I've had people approach me and say, well, why should we keep on praying if God heard us the first time? Have we ever said that or thought that or had somebody say that to you? Luke 18, and now verse 2, saying, there was a certain city and a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continuing coming she worry me. And then the Lord said, verse 6, hear what the unjust judge said. Now verse 7, And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Interesting way to finish that. Where he says in verse 7, Shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? And then in verse 8 he says, but I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? What's going on here? It's a problem of unbelief. And faith will be demonstrated in persistence. If we really believe that we're going to receive something, then we will continue to believe. We will continue to press on until we see it happen. It's no different than addictions. Sometimes people struggle with addictions for a long time. Other people, they get instantly set free. I got instantly set free from several things, you know. Other times people struggle, but in that case, they have to be persistent and press in and continue to pray and continue to believe. And if we have faith and believe that God is bigger than the problem, bigger than the addiction, then guess what? You will have what you petitioned him for. Why? Because it is God's will that his people walk in freedom. It is God's will that we are addicted to nothing except him. We're not slaves to anything or anyone except Jesus. Amen? We're his bond servants, but not to any person and not to anything in this world. We're not slaves, but we're sons and we're daughters. So believing God will also result in a persistent pressing in and petitioning the Father. As he says, the unjust judge eventually gave this woman what she wanted. Why? Because she kept bugging him. What is Jesus saying? He's teaching us, don't give up. When you come before your Father, know He's hearing you, but you got to continue to press in and continue to ask, continue to petition Him. All right? Now, I don't know if this is for sure or not, but I heard somebody explain that God gave them this revelation. It's kind of an interesting thought. But he said it was when you pray, you know, you have to be concentrating, and I believe this to be true, and paying attention to the one you're talking to. Amen? When we talk, of course we know, it's rude for me to be talking to you and you turn away and walk away, right? Or completely shut me off. Or maybe I've done this to you without realizing it, but you've tried, and yeah, somebody is laughing now because you tried to talk to me and I'm kind of like the, you know, the ADD thing or whatever. And I just got so much stuff going on sometimes in my head that I don't mean it, but sometimes I'll walk off while somebody's talking to me. Okay. It's not deliberate, but it's rude to do that. And I work very hard not to do that. But when we talk to God, we need to be persistent and we need to be concentrated. And this person was saying that God showed him by a vision that your prayers are like ascending up, but there's like a brass heaven. There's like something, there's no hole in the clouds, if you will, and the prayers are being stopped. But he said, as you continue to pray and press in, continue to pray, he says it'll begin to actually like open a portal in the heavens. And the prayers will go up and they'll be received. And you know, I found that to be true. I found that to be true even by praying for the sick that way. Sometimes you pray, nothing happens. Well, pray some more. Press in, believe, keep praying. You know, even sometimes praying for somebody personally. You know, you prayed, well, how are you doing? Oh, it's the same. Get mad at it, you know, deal with, no, we're not accepting that. We're going to keep pressing in and pressing on. And then, many times the person is healed just because we were persistent, not because of anything we did, but God honors faith. It's what he did. He's the one that does it, but he's looking for a vessel. He's looking for somebody on the earth to petition him in heaven so that heaven and earth will come together. That's what prayer is. Prayer is bringing heaven into the earth realm. That's why we were to pray Matthew 6, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. There has to be a coming together. When heaven kisses earth, if you will, there is a divine impartation from heaven. Amen? And the supernatural overshadows the natural. And you have results in prayer. So don't give up, he's saying. Don't get weary in well-doing. Keep on pressing in. Keep on asking. And God will answer in time. Now, God will answer the way that's best. We think God's supposed to answer a certain way, but God answers the way that's best. I've asked God for things. I persisted in prayer for certain things that I thought were a good idea. And God didn't answer those prayers. But then God did answer those prayers in a different way and later showed me that if he had answered the prayer that I had offered before, even persistently, it would have been trouble for me. If I got what I really asked for, it wouldn't have been good for me. So when you pray, also pray and know that your Father is good. He knows what's best for us. People get mad at God, but God actually cares. He actually cares. And he knows sometimes by giving you what you're asking for, it's not going to be good for you. Have you ever had your kids do that? You know, remember the old Crest commercials? I only had 5 cavities. Remember that? 5 cavities. I remember that. It's like, wow, what a report. Only 5 cavities. They actually said that. And it's like, well, I don't know why I got off on that, except to say your kids will eat candy till their teeth rot out of their head. Amen. Now, we want to give our kids what makes them happy, but what makes them happy may not be good for them. And as a matter of fact, the happiness will be short lived because eventually they're going to be paying, right, for what they were indulging in. So God knows better. He knows best, and we need to trust him when we pray that even though it may, he's going to answer, but he's going to answer according to his will, which is the best thing for you. All right. Now, I have a couple questions for you. You ready? Verse 1, why pray when God does whatever he wants to? Here's another one. Why should we pray when God already knows and controls everything? He already knows what we're going to pray for, so why pray? Have you ever thought about that one? Well, if God knows everything, why should I even pray? If He knows what happens, if He controls everything, how about you hear this now? And we say God is in control. And ultimately, God isn't in control. But you know what? God has given you responsibility for your life. You know what? If you don't obey Him, it's your fault. If your life is messed up because you're not listening, that's your fault, not God's fault. And yet, we blame God for stuff we do. Because when He was speaking, we weren't listening. Do I have a witness in here tonight? Why should we pray when God already knows and controls everything? You see, that's why God told us to pray. And it all goes back to the beginning, doesn't it? It goes back to the garden. What did God do? God gave man charge. He gave him charge of in the earth realm. And so through communication with God, he had a relationship until sin entered in and that was broken off. So, do you understand? Because we've been given that charge, we've been given that responsibility, it's up to us to petition God to come and intervene in our situation. Miles Monroe said, it's heaven's influence in the earth realm. We need to call in that. It's heavenly license for earthly interference. Why we pray is because God says, I'm giving you the keys. You're responsible to bring what I have in heaven to the earth realm. So when we pray or ask anything according to the will of God, He hears us. So what we need to know is, what is the will of God? How do I pray? What do I ask for? Well, the only way you're going to know that is by the Holy Spirit, who He gives to us, who searches the deep things of God and reveals them to us, so we can know His heart, know the mind of God, amen, so that then we can begin to do our part as a priesthood and to petition the Father for His divine influence in the earth realm. That's why, folks, prayer is not optional. It is absolutely essential. If you want to live and have life, you've got to pray. If you want the devil out of your head, out of your hair, out of your family, you've got to pray. Amen? If you, whatever you have need of, and God knows what we have need of, amen? And God wants, it's His will, listen, it's His will to provide your needs. So when we pray, we have to pray in faith, believing that God is, that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6, I believe. So we need to petition the Father, ask Him to release what His will is on the earth realm. And we know what His will is through prayer itself, through relationship, to get to know the voice of the Lord. So when the Lord says, pray for this. You see, it's the Spirit is in us. Amen. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. So the Holy Spirit in us is in connection. So we pray from the Spirit and we discover through the Spirit what the mind of the will of God is in heaven. And then we can call that in to this realm. And that's when we have miracles. That's when you have a healing, okay, or a provision that you have need of, is discovering, well, it is the Father's will to provide. So, Father, I pray for your provision. And then, again, we wait on God's timing. You want to know why sometimes you have to wait for something? It's because the Lord's trying to get something organized inside of you and I. God's doing some rearranging. God's getting us to a place where we're going to know what we need God now. We have to depend on the Lord now. All the artificial security blankets, you know. God's saying, I want you to trust me. Why? Because what I have for you is far superior than what you can get from Uncle Sam or this world. And so I want you to learn not to trust in those things, even though he may use that as a means. We ultimately are trusting in God. Amen? It's not my employer. It's not even my bank. Amen? It's the Lord himself that provides. And God wants you to learn that He loves you. He cares for you. He wants to meet your needs. He wants to provide for you. But your responsibility is to have a relationship with Him. And out of that relationship, you'll begin to discover the will and the purpose of God. And what will happen is what God desires will become your desire. You'll start desiring what He desires. You'll start hating what He hates because of His Spirit in you. And as you grow spiritually and you become stronger in the Spirit, you'll find that the things that you were once interested in, the things, the temporary things, the things of this world, no longer have any attraction to you. They don't fill you. They don't satisfy you. The only thing that satisfies you is the Lord and what He's doing. The will of God. Yeah. How many are there already? You're already you're just kind of dead to this world, to self. Yeah. So, it's because of our man's delegated authority that God has actually called us to be ambassadors. What does an ambassador do? He represents the kingdom government, right? That whoever sent him, the government that sent him. And 2 Corinthians 5:20 says this: "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." What is he saying? The whole purpose of the cross was to bring us back into relationship with the Father, so we can now have, amen, Him as our Father, and we can have access to heaven. We can come in and out through the door, who is Jesus Christ, into the very throne of grace, the throne of our Father, and we can make our petitions known at our Father's throne. Hello. Amen. And as a child of God now, I'm not a slave that has to stand outside and knock and beg to come in. I can come with confidence. Amen. I open the door and I come in because I'm a son. Amen. You don't have your kids standing outside the door. You know that. Knock and say, "Can I come in?" Well, unless they're really being bad. But you just come into the house and you go right for whatever you need, right? You need something to eat, you go right for the refrigerator. Why? Because you're a son. That's your home. So it is, if we're sons of God, we have to have that kind of confidence when we approach the Father. You know that Father is hearing every thought, every word, every action. He sees it all, knows it all. We can't say, "Well, God won't see this one." God sees it. God knows it. The best thing you can do is say, "God, I messed up. I'm sorry. I know you're watching. I know you see it. There are no secrets with you. Please forgive me. Please cleanse me from that. And please deliver me from that thing. God, I repent. I turn away." Amen? Because you don't want anything to hinder your prayers. How many want God to hear your prayers? Amen. Of course we do. God does everything for a reason. Isaiah 14, verse 24. "The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. And as I have proposed, so it shall stand." Now, the New Living Translation says it this way: "The Lord of heaven's armies has sworn this oath. It will all happen as I have planned. It will be as I have decided." You know, many are the intentions of a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. How many of us had our own idea about stuff? I think Apostle Paul, right, once Saul had his own idea of what it was to serve God until God got a hold of him, humbled him real good. He went from terrorist to saint. Just like that. Most important thing, again, folks, is that prayer is our relationship with Him. And how do I pray? You know, it's not a big mystery. Just talk. Talk to God. Talk, but talk in the name of Jesus. Amen? Talk in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I even say, you know, "Lord, Adonai." Why? Because the Lord is in me. The Spirit's in me. You know, it's not a complicated thing. Sometimes all you have to do is say, "God, help. God, help me. Jesus, help." You know? I do that quite a bit every day. Seriously, every day I'm saying, "Oh, God, help." Yeah. We cannot reflect God's nature without intimacy. We were actually created to reflect God, to reflect His nature, and to have fellowship with Him. But we cannot do that without intimacy. Christianity is really a marriage relationship. Did you know that? It's a marriage. It's not going to church and doing church things and playing church. It's a relationship, a marriage relationship, where we are actually espoused to Jesus Christ. Through His blood, we've been brought into covenant. See, that's what marriage is supposed to be. And Jesus Christ, with His own blood, purchased us. We've entered into covenant with Him through His blood. And we become one with Him. We are the bride of Christ. And as His bride, I am to keep myself pure. Amen? I'm saving myself for Him. And that's why in 1 Corinthians 11, where it talks about, I don't want to go too far into this, but it talks about many are sick among you, and some even sleep, have died, because they did not discern the body of Christ. Because they did despite the Spirit of grace, and they trampled underfoot the Son of God, and counted the blood of the covenant whereby they were sanctified an unholy thing, by doing deliberately against what they know in the covenant, what it represented. It means that I'm no longer free to just give myself to every demon and every devil and everything that's going on in this world, you know. And even Christians, you know, who have pledged allegiance to Jesus, to serve Him, to follow Him, to be His bride, some of them are worshiping the devil and don't even realize it. Isn't it true? Some Christians are worshiping the devil and don't even realize it. Do you understand that when we worship self, we're worshiping the nature of ourselves that would rebel against God? The part of you that doesn't want to submit to God is the part that has to die. That's the evil part of you. The part of you that doesn't want to pray, the part of you that doesn't want to obey, is the part that has to die. And if we are worshiping self by putting self before God, then we're in idolatry. It's an idol of your own heart. We are in covenant with Jesus Christ. And intimacy is important. And it's possible through prayer. So if we've fallen out of favor with God, if we've fallen away from God, all we have to do is turn back to Him. Thank God. You don't have to do like they do in the Philippines. You don't have to crawl on your knees for miles till you're bloody and then be crucified on a cross. That's all in vain, folks. We just simply turn back. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, amen, the veil is removed and the blood of Jesus avails for us. Are you glad? God wants us to know that He cares. He wants to answer your prayer. But there's some certain things we need to understand about it before we can even approach it. Amen. We have to know the will of God. We have to come in purity. Amen. We have to come repentant before God. And it's not a big drawn-out thing. It's just simply, Lord, I'm done. I turn away from me. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And when you blow it, you have an advocate with the Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? And you just come back. And don't quit going back into the same cesspool. Amen? If God pulls you out of there, stay clean. Why? Because you don't want your prayers hindered. And when we come to God, come to Him in faith. Just like Jesus said, Father, I thank You that You hear me and that You always hear me. Do you believe that God hears you and that He always hears you? All right. So when we pray in confidence. Start even saying that when you pray. Father, thank You. I know that You hear me and I know that You always hear me. My faith is in You and not in my feelings today. And don't let that devil come up and say, remember what you did? Well, did you confess it? Yes. Then guess what? God says, I don't remember that. You're forgiven. Get over it. Let it go. Get up and get back in. Amen. Get back in the race. It's not too late. Just get back in the race. Jump in. Don't mess around. Don't splash around, as we say, in the kiddie pool. You got to go all the way. Let's bow our heads right now and say, Lord, I come to You. I ask You to forgive me for all my sins. I want to be cleansed. So Jesus, I ask you to wash me in your blood and restore me to a right relationship with you. I want to follow you. I want to obey you. So give me grace to overcome this world and this flesh and the devil. I have what you say I have. New life in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.